यशोदानन्दन व्रजजनरञ्जन यमुनातीरावनचारी जयो राधा माधव जयो कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव जयो कुंज जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमद् डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ओं विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद्श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद जी महाराज की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरदास ठाकुर की जय। प्रेम से कहो जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। जय श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। मथुरा वृंदावन धाम की जय। मायापुर नवदीप धाम की जय। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। कलयुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवत महापुराण की जय। निताय गौर प्रेम नंदे ऑल ग्लोरी सो सम्बल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी सो सम्बल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी सो सम्बल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज श्री गुरु श्री गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदांतिकम्। वंदेहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं त्वं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश। नमा ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధా కాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛాకల్పతరుర్భ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. సర్వశాస్త్రాది పీయూషా సర్వవైదైక సత్ఫల సర్వసిద్ధాంత రత్నాఢ్య సర్వలోకైక దృక్ప్రద సర్వభాగవత ప్రాణ శ్రీమద్భాగవతం ప్రభో కలిధ్వాంతోదితాదిత్య శ్రీకృష్ణ పరివర్తిత. హరే కృష్ణ. రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ క్యాంటో 11 చాప్టర్ 10 టెక్స్ట్ 21. శ్రుతం చ దృష్టవద్దుష్టం స్పర్ధాసు ఆసూయాత్య వ్యయైః బహువంతరాయ కామత్వాత్ కృషివచ్చాపి నిష్ఫలం. శ్రుతం చ దృష్టవద్దుష్టం స్పర్ధాసూయాత్య వ్యయైః బహువంతరాయ కామత్వాత్ కృషివచ్చాపి నిష్ఫలం. శ్రుతం చ దృష్టవద్దుష్టం స్పర్ధాసూయాత్య వ్యయైః బహువంతరాయ కామత్వాత్ కృషివచ్చాపి నిష్ఫలం. అంతరాయ కామత్వాత్ కృషివచ్చాపి నిష్ఫలం. మాతాజీస్, వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ మీనింగ్. శ్రుతం, మెటీరియల్ హ్యాపీనెస్ విచ్ ఇస్ హర్డ్ ఆఫ్. చ ఆల్సో దృష్టవద్, జస్ట్ లైక్ that which we have already seen. Dushtam is contaminated. Spardha by jealousy. Asuya by envy. Atyaya by death. Vyayaihi and by decay. Bahu many. Antaraya obstacles. Kamatvat because of accepting happiness with such characteristics. Krishivat, like agriculture. Cha, also. Api, even. Nishphalam, fruitless. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. That material happiness of which we hear, such as promotion to heavenly planets for celestial enjoyment, is just like that material happiness we have already experienced. Both are polluted by jealousy, envy, decay and death. Therefore, just as an attempt to raise crops becomes fruitless if there are many problems like crop disease, insect plague or drought, similarly the attempt to attain material happiness either on earth or on the heavenly planets is always fruitless because of innumerable obstacles. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments as follows on this verse. Ordinarily, if there is no specific impediment, agricultural endeavors will yield their fruits. If, however, there is a defect in the seed, or if the soil is too salty or barren, or if there is drought, plague, excessive rain, or heat out of season, or if there are disturbances caused by animals, birds, or insects, then agricultural activities will not yield the desired harvest. Similarly, those who are expert in analyzing the material world see that the heavenly situations offered in the Vedas are not basically different from life on the earth. By the interaction of conditioned souls, there will inevitably be jealousy as one becomes distinguished as superior and another as inferior. By the power of time, these positions are reversed, and therefore violence and intrigue disturb life even on the heavenly planets. In fact, the attempt to promote oneself to the heavenly planets is itself full of problems and disturbances. One should therefore understand that the kingdom of God, Vaikuntha, is transcendental to the limitations and disturbances imposed by the laws of material nature in this world. If one wrongly concludes that such imperfections are also present in the kingdom of God, then one will be polluted by material contamination. Hare Krishna. So, the chapter entitled is The Nature of Fruitive Activities, wherein Lord Sri Krishna is describing to Uddhava the nature of material happiness. And Lord, time and again, is inspiring the Jiva to give up his hope of trying to find happiness in this world by analyzing the faults involved in it. Bhukta bhoga parityakta drishta dosha cha nityasha neshwarasya ashvam dhatte swamahimni sthitasya cha. So Bhagavatam says that once you see the faultiness of the pursuit of sense gratification and one understands the true glory of the soul and is reinstated in that glory, then only he, you know, achieves real happiness. In this world, we are all lacking something. That's why we are trying to search, we are trying to see if there is something we can get outside which can make us feel complete. Interestingly, Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad states that everyone with the material body has these four desires or incompleteness that they experience. It was quite interesting when I came across this. So the first is, we have to understand in proper context. The first he says is desire for wife or someone near us who can make us feel good and complete. So technically speaking, that was the whole idea of the kings having many queens so that they keep inspiring them, they keep, you know, eulogizing them and things like that. Now, the Lord gave us the mind to help us feel good about ourselves. And through the mind, one can actually create an illusion of being even more attractive than God himself. That's the power of the mind. So basically, the false ego can create an illusion that you are the master of this universe, although everybody thinks similarly. So the mind has that capacity. So this one desire is there in the Jiva because of his lacking something in this material world. But the Lord knows that everyone may not get a spouse or may not get married. So he knows that part also. So then how do you manage that part? Then how do you fulfill this condition, this desire? So the Lord gave the power to speech, power of his speech to substitute this. So the power of his speech is given so that the Jiva can express himself, at times glorify himself and feel good about themselves. So they speak nicely, people appreciate, and then you basically feel good about yourself. So this is concomitant. They are like parallels. The second is, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says, is desire to have children. This is another desire that the jiva has. Or desire to create something, to accomplish something. This is what I have created. So that desire manifests in the sense of various kinds of accomplishment. And the Lord understood, if you cannot produce anything, the Lord gave you the power to breathe. So that at least everybody produces hot air. This is Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says. So everybody at least produces some hot air. So they get kusto kiya maine. Some contribution I made in the ecosystem. Of course, you know, there was this biologist, E.O. Wilson, Harvard emeritus. And he said that each species plays a very critical role in the ecosystem. And if you remove anyone from the planet, it disturbs the ecosystem. He said, except one species, if removed, everyone will breathe a sigh of relief. Human beings. He said, they don't contribute anything. So, you know, the jiva feels a sense of accomplishment. The third is to possess something, like wealth. Wealth gives you a certain kind of security because, you know, you have a sense of possession. And Upanishad says to fulfill this desire of the jiva, because everybody may not get wealth. So the Lord gave eyes. So when you see something, you have a feeling that, oh, it's for me. You can start possessing it. It's for me. So, and the fourth desire that the jiva has is to keep the future bright. They want to work hard to keep the future bright, right? So that's why we have so many investment agencies to keep the future bright, right? This fund, that fund, keep the money there so the future is bright. So the Lord gave ears, because by hearing one can ensure good future. And like, you know, sometimes politicians speak and then people get confidence ki haan theek hai, sunne se lagta hai ki unko future will be bright, acche din aayenge, right? Somebody was joking, 4 years have passed. There were the days. So, you know, so the jiva has these kind of lackings, these four lackings: desire to have a wife, desire to have children, desire to possess something, and desire to have a bright future. And the Lord basically facilitates fulfillment of these desires. He's so kind. However, Bhagavatam very unequivocally describes the situation of the conditioned soul in this material world. So Bhagavatam, 5th canto, when Shukadev Goswami is describing the situation of the conditioned soul in the material world, in the forest of material enjoyment. So towards the concluding verses he is giving. So he's saying, this path of this material world is full of material miseries. Etasmin samsar adhvani. Adhvani is a path. So this path of material existence, he's saying, etasmin is full of material miseries. Nana klesha upasarga badhita. Nana klesha, varieties of misery actually are inflicted upon the living entity. Apanno vipanno, he says he sometimes loses, sometimes he gains in his endeavors. But in either case, the path is full of danger. Sometimes he is separated from his loved ones. Sometimes his parents die. Then in trying to fulfill that lacuna, he leaves them aside and becomes attached to others, like his wife, children, other relatives, friends, in order to, you know, experience some happiness. So in this way, he sometimes feels illusioned, mohiyan, sometimes afraid, bibhyad. Sometimes he cries, krandan. Sometimes he cries loudly out of fear, right? Bibhyad vivadan, he's saying. Sometimes he's happy maintaining his family, and sometimes he's overjoyed and sings melodiously. And Shukadev Goswami is saying, in this way he becomes entangled and forgets his separation from Krishna. And thus he traverses the dangerous path of material existence. And Shukadev Goswami is saying, and on this path he is not at all happy. He's just not at all happy, but he just doesn't know what to do. It's like, you know, sometimes you go to watch a movie. Now, of course, people who are assembled here don't go to watch movies, hopefully. But when you used to go to watch movies, even if the movie is boring, then you have to sit till the end to figure out maybe there is something. That hope keeps you going on, even though the whole experience till date was very pathetic. So this hope that the jiva carries, ki kuch to achha hoga bhavishya mein, is what continues the material existence. He just goes on. On and on, right? So those who are
he's saying those who are self-realized, they take shelter of Krishna to get out of the dangerous material existence. And without accepting bhakti, one cannot get out of material existence, Shukadeva Goswami is saying. And Prabhupada concludes, he says, the conclusion is that no one can be happy in material life. Blanket statement. No one can be happy in material life, one must take to Krishna consciousness. So, Prabhupada in the purport writes, then why is it that the jiva, even though he suffers so much, he continues his plan of enjoyment? He says two things. First is prolonged exposure to sense gratification. Since time immemorial he is exposed. And second is devoid of association of saintly people. So this prolonged exposure to Indriya Bhog and there is no sadhu sangha. So these two things create a situation where the jiva has no other option but to just continue struggling in this material existence. So Prabhupada in that purport writes, therefore the purpose of Krishna consciousness movement is to give association of devotees to people in general. Therefore, people, the members of the Krishna consciousness society must be perfect sadhus in order to give a chance to fallen conditioned souls to make advancement. And Bhagavatam says, Narada Muni is saying that sometimes the jiva makes some attempts to solve material problems to get some happiness, and he's saying that is another problem. When he tries to make solution to his problem, he lands him into bigger trouble. And he gives a very nice analogy. He's saying, Yathahi Purusho Bharam Shirasa Guru Mudvahan. Sometimes you carry heavy load on your head and you get tired. Tam Skandhenas Adhatte. And then you put it on your shoulder. Right? You are carrying it on your head. It's very heavy. So you put it on your shoulder. Tatha Saravaha Pratikriya. So he's saying, trying to solve the problems of material existence by some material solution is like trying to take the load from the head to the shoulder. It's still there on the body only. It doesn't absolve the situation. It just creates a different situation where you might feel relief for some time, but the trouble is again going to come back. And in this particular verse, the Lord is also explaining that material happiness, even in the heavenly realms, because the jiva may start feeling, oh, there is so much trouble here, but if I go to Swarga, then I'll be happy. And that's the whole idea. He gets propelled towards Karmakanda and things like that. There's so much trouble here. Let's go somewhere else. It's like, it's too hot here. Let's go to some other place. Lokandwala or somewhere. Right? But then once you go there are mosquitoes biting, or there is too much rain, or there is the pathways are all shrouded. Right? Different kind of miseries come in that place also. So he's saying, material happiness has similar characteristics even in heavenly realms, the Lord is saying. And we see that Narad Muni recommending, and the various personalities who have access to that realm. We don't have access to that realm, but people who have access to that realm, if we hear from them, then we can understand, okay, the situation is something similar. So Narad Muni, right in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, he's instructing Vyasadeva. He's saying, Tasseva heto prayateta kovito na labhyate yad brahmatam upari yadha tal labhyate dukhvad anyata sukham kalena sarvatra gabhira ramasa. That an intelligent person, he does not aspire for any happiness or any kind of activity, pleasurable activity available from the lowermost planet to the topmost planet. He aspires for something which is beyond. That's a sign of an intelligent person. And we see the demigods in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, when they are offering their prayers, they are speaking and they are basically eulogizing the situation of a living entity on this planet Earth, and they are praying that the situation that they are in, we want to be placed in. And they are saying, Kim Dushkarair na Kratubis Tapovratari. We have performed such difficult task. Dushkarai, very, very difficult to perform. What? Kratubhi, great yagyas we have performed, tapa we have performed, ratas we have performed, dana adibhir, we have given so much charity, vad yujayena, and we have, as a result, we have attained this heavenly planet. But what is the benefit? He's saying falguna. What is the benefit of achieving this heavenly planet after doing such huge, tremendous amount of activity? Nayatra narayana pada pankaja smriti. Here there is no opportunity to remember the lotus feet of Krishna. Nayatra Narayana Pada Pankaja Smritihi. And why? They're saying, why is it that it is not possible to remember the lotus feet of Narayana? Pramushta Atishaye Indriyotsava. There is excessive sense gratification. And because of excessive sense gratification, it becomes very difficult to think of the lotus feet of Krishna. So they are saying that. So in Mahabharata, there is this story of Mudgal Rishi. So he was living in Kurukshetra, performing great austerities and everything. So he would perform severe austerities. For 2 weeks, he did not take any food. Next 2 weeks, he simply took some leaves which were falling from the trees. And he would feed others and the family and then eat. So one day Durvasa came to test him. Generally, he has that, excitement. And he has started asking, feed me. And after being fed, he ate everything that Mudgal Rishi had and then insulted him. Khaya, galividya. Mudgal Rishi was very cool. Then Durvasa Muni took the remaining food on his body. जो कुछ थोड़ा बड़ा इधर बचा था शरीर पे लगा लिया, कुछ नहीं छोड़ा उसके लिए, खा भी लिया, गाली भी दिया, और जो थोड़ा बहुत इधर बचा था, put it on his body, and he left. And Mudgal said, please come next day also. कल भी आइए आप. Generally, we might tolerate till this level, but we will not put invitation, कल भी आना. Nobody will do that. But he said, please come tomorrow also. And he came. And he came 6 days in a row like that. And did exactly the same thing. So for 6 days, practically he was fasting, family was fasting and everything. So finally Durvasa became a little happy. And he said, okay, I'm happy with your, cool-headedness. So I bless you that you will attain liberation. So Viman came from heaven. And in Mudgal Rishi, he said, Mudgal Rishi, please come with us. So Mudgal wanted to check. So he asked the messenger, where are you taking me? Sochi, Viman aaya aur pooch rahe hain, kahan leke ja rahe hain? हम तो बैठ जाएंगे उसके बाद सोचेंगे क्या किधर था, राइट? सो आस्किंग वेयर आर यू टेकिंग मी एंड द मैसेंजर स्टार्टेड एक्सप्लेनिंग, ओ हाउ नाइस हेवन्स आर देयर, नंदन गार्डन्स एंड देन देयर आर ब्यूटीफुल डैम्सल्स डांसिंग एंड देयर इज नो स्मेल ऑफ स्टूल यूरिन एंड देन देयर इज नो बैड ओडर देयर एंड दिस इज लाइफ इज वेरी वंडरफुल एंड दिस एंड दैट, क्लोथ्स नेवर बिकम डर्टी, इट्स ऑल वेरी फ्रेश एंड थिंग्स लाइक दैट. एंड मुदगल सेड, इज देयर एनीथिंग बैड देयर? द मैसेंजर सेड, या दिस गार्लैंड स्टार्ट्स फेडिंग वंस your time is up in heavenly planets. One problem. This garland will start fading once your time is up in the heavenly planets. And so Mudgal said, then I'm not going to heaven. If there is anything bad involved in that area, I'm not interested. And he said, I want to only go to Vaikuntha from where there is no returns. And he sent the heavenly planet, heavenly airplane back. Now we might even consider, at least एक बार ट्रिप तो मार के आते हैं, देखते हैं. शनि पुण्य मर्त्य लोकम विशंति, वापस तो इधर ही आना है, तो एक बार ट्रिप मारने में क्या बुराई है, देख के आ जाते हैं थोड़ा. बट ही वॉज नॉट इंटरेस्टेड इन वेस्टिंग दिस टाइम. आई जस्ट वॉन्ट टू गो टू वैकुंठ, नॉट इंटरेस्टेड इन हेवनली प्लैनेट्स. सो दिस पर्टिकुलर वर्स इज सेइंग दैट हाउ देर आर फोर ऑब्स्टिकल्स मेंशन ट्राइंग टू अटेन हैप्पीनेस इन दिस वर्ल्ड और स्वर्ग. देर आर मेनी बट फोर आर मेंशन. ही इज सेइंग स्पर्धा, जेलसी, असूया, एनवी, राइट, Atyaya, death, and Vyayai, decay. And death, we all understand that how death puts a full stop to all plans of material happiness and things like that. Asuya, we see the classic example of Maharaj Chitraketus. All these queens, they became very envious when they saw the happiness of Shatadruti and they killed the baby. Envy. We see the example of Yayati when he tried to enjoy with Sarmishtha. And then Shukracharya cursed him that your body will decay, and he became old. And later on, of course, he exchanged. But then his happiness was obstructed by vyayai, by old age. And Spardha, we see envy, jealousy. Like Vishwamitra's repeated failures of trying to become powerful in this world. He's performing all these austerities, and Indra keeps sending these heavenly damsels to just disturb him. So there is jealousy, there is envy. So all these obstacles come in trying to enjoy happiness in this world. Now, important thing to reflect is that even though demigods have moved to heavenly abodes, the base tendencies in their hearts are not purified. Just by change of material situation, just the elevation of material situation doesn't guarantee that one will be also purified of materialistic tendencies. So, material accomplishments are not a parameter to gauge one's purification of consciousness. They are two different things. One being purified in his consciousness and one becoming materially successful. They may exist together in some personality, and that is wonderful. But the material success doesn't guarantee purification of consciousness. It is not a sufficient condition. Mathematics knows that necessary and sufficient conditions. So this is neither necessary nor sufficient. This may be absent, but still somebody may be very pure in his consciousness. So somebody said, two things define great people. Patience when they have nothing, and humility when they have everything. So these are the symptoms of somebody who is evolved in his level of consciousness. So Lord Krishna explains in the Gita, and he's encouraging through the message of Gita to all conditioned soul, that don't try to look for happiness externally. Yehi samsparshaja bhoga dukh yo nayo evati adya antvant kaunteya nateshu ramate budha. An intelligent person does not delight. That means there is some pleasure in those activities. But an intelligent person doesn't delight in the activities where the senses come in touch with sense objects and they have a beginning and an end. He says this is dukkha yoni. So this is a very nice word that the Lord is, of course, the Lord is all perfect, so whatever comes is perfect. So dukkha yonayo evate means just like when a man and woman come together and they unite, it is not that the lady gives birth to a child the next day. Neither nobody knows also that she is pregnant. So yoni means when you enjoy material sense gratification, misery may not come immediately, but the seed is sown. Over a period of time, misery will manifest. And this is the big trap. This instant pleasure that the jiva gets and this delay in the reaction is what keeps the illusion going on. And he says, okay, kuch problem nahi hai. Dekho, kuch nahi hua, maine kuch gadbad kiya. I can continue. But he says, dukkha yoni. You are keeping the seed of misery. What will come out will be suffering only. The Lord is saying, therefore he's saying, just avoid it. So the jiva may say, okay, but then I want to be happy. How do I do that? So just two verses later, and then the Lord actually explains that you should look for happiness within. Yo anta sukho anta arama tatha antar jyotirevaya sayogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuto adigacchati. So personality who is pursuing a spiritual path, he begins to see happiness internally. So happiness is basically an inside job. It is not external, it's an inside job. And even materially speaking, now it's a research done. This happened and this came in a magazine called Wired. So in that there was an article where they quoted this research done by this professor called Michael Norton in Cambridge University. And the conclusion of that research was that we are all wired for generosity. We are wired to serve. So they did an experiment where they took young men, women, adults, and they created two groups, and they gave $5, $10, $20 to one set of people and the same amount of money to another set of people. And they said the first set of people have to spend this money on themselves, and the second group of people have to use this money and spend it on some other people, do something for others. And they did that, and then they were interviewed how they spend their money. So most of the people spend their money on makeup, cosmetics, Starbucks, or something else. And the other people also have a similar kind of pattern in which they spend their money. That means for similar kind of reasons. And the first group was interviewed. They said, what was your experience of happiness? He said, no, normal, just like any other day we feel. Whenever you drink coffee, the way you feel, I felt like that. And the other group was interviewed, and they said, how did you feel? He said, I felt more happy when I did something for others. And they repeated this experiment in United States, Europe, Africa, Asia, all these places. And they had similar kind of observation everywhere. And they came to the conclusion that human beings are wired for generosity, basically doing something for others. We Shastras are already speaking. Jivere Surupa Hoye Krishner Nityadas. Our situation is that of eternal servitor. And when we are in that situation, we get maximum happiness. So when we say happiness is an inside job, that means we start doing things for others. Like when Bill Gates became a billionaire at the age of 31. And just a few years later, he started his Gates Foundation. Because he realized, just accumulating money will not give me happiness. To do something for others. Right? So, when we do something substantial in life, then our focus shifts from external to internal. In the world today, people feel a lot of inferiority complex, loneliness, lack of purpose, because they're not doing something substantial in life. And I remember Shubhilaspro was once giving this nice example. He said, externals don't really matter. It's the internal that counts. And he gave example of a perfume bottle. He said, sometimes perfume bottles are very exotic. They look externally so nice. But then you don't go and drink the content. The content is poisonous. You'll actually die. Right? Whereas a clean water bottle may be very simple, but the content is valuable. So he said, when you start doing something substantial in life, especially for others, then you start feeling a sense of value even in your own existence. And that's where you experience happiness. And being in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's what he said. Janma sarthak karikar, that means fill the bottle with clean water, kar paropakar, and go and make others drink that. And in doing that, you'll become truly happy. Not just janma sarthak karikar and then bedja. No. Kar paropakar, because that is the principle. The jiva is meant to serve. And when that service is in relation to the Supreme Lord and His mission, He gets the maximum satisfaction. So real happiness lies in cultivating spiritual desires and executing devotional service. So, he's saying in the 7th canto of Dhut Brahman says, Sukham asyatmano rupam sarva iha uparatistanu mana samsparshajan drishtva bhogansu pashyami samvishan. He says the actual happiness, Sukham asyatmano rupam, is actually coming from the spiritual existence. The jiva experiences real happiness only when he is situated spiritually. Because other happiness is all mana samsparshajan. It is born of mental speculation. Means it doesn't exist. It is the mind which crafts it. And based on the situation of the mind, same situation may appear to be happy or distressful based on what the situation of the mind is. So we understand that, right? So how to cultivate spiritual desires? So that is the next question. So okay, we cannot be desireless. The jiva cannot be desireless. The jiva needs to have desires. So how does he move from material desires to spiritual desires? So in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, when Brahmaji gets bewildered upon seeing Krishna's manifestation of his Aishwarya in Braj, and these wonderful unlimited Vishnu forms he sees. So there this verse comes. Chandrika Vishadasmerai Sarunapanga Vikshitai Swakarthanam Ivaracha Sattva Bhyam Srishtapalaka. So he's saying those Vishnu forms, Chandrika Vishadasmerai, their smiling was increasing the splendor of the moon. And by their sidelong glances, Sa Arunapanga Vikshitai. Right? By their smiling, by their sidelong glances, they were creating and protecting the desires of their devotees. So interesting. Krishna's glance creates spiritual desires. Right? Rajogun, Raja. Prabhupada says that that Raja is not passion, it's affection. That Raja, when it is used in relationship to Krishna, it's not passion, it is affection. So there, the Lord's glance creates spiritual desires. And Swakarthana means great desires in relation to Him. Sanatana Goswami says, a devotee's desires are already fulfilled. So what kind of desires Krishna is creating in his heart? So those desires are in relationship to His service and expanding His devotional, service and enthusiasm. So Prabhupada says, the word Swakarthanam refers to eagerness to serve Krishna. So the Lord's glance represents basically Krishna's presence in our life. When you are present in someone's glance, means you are present in front of them. So when Krishna comes in a jiva's life, spiritual desires are created. And that becomes the seed of inspiration. One has to be inspired to actually act in the spiritual domain. So, how to be in Krishna's presence? And we have various limbs of devotional service, association of devotees, and very importantly, the process of chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, but when this is done in the mood of eagerness, then they lead to the desired results. The second thing this verse says is Krishna's smile. It says Krishna's glance creates a spiritual desire. That means when we come in Krishna's presence, spiritual desires manifest in the heart. Dadami buddhi yogam. And when he smiles, Krishna's smile protects the desires of his devotees. That means his pleasure protects the spiritual inspiration that is created in the heart of the jiva. And the Lord is pleased. What pleases the Lord? We have every day morning we sing, Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, Yasya prasada nagati kutopi. There is no movement, there is no destination unless the Lord is pleased. Because without inspiration, you cannot take up a journey. If there is no inspiration, why will somebody travel from church gate to Virar in the evening traffic? You will not have that inspiration to move on. So, he's saying when Krishna Sudama pastime is happening and they get stuck in the forest at the dead of night and Sandipani Muni comes next day and they give him he gives them a blessing. He's saying, Tushtoham bho dujasreshtha satya santu manoratha chandamsi ayat yamani bhavantiha paratracha. My dear sons, because you have pleased me, Vedic mantras you have learned will never lose their meaning to you. So something which inspired you initially, that is sound vibration, which is the Vedic knowledge, he said that will never become stale. Means your inspiration will always remain alive. So, this spiritual desires actually become the impetus for a jiva to tread the path back to Godhead, because this path is very long, arduous, and difficult some, because of our own conditionings. But sometimes, why is it that in spite of understanding the futility of material enjoyment, practicing a spiritual process, still an enlightened jiva falls for sense gratification? We all know what needs to be done, what doesn't need to. Somebody coming to ISKCON, within 6 months he understands what is that required to go back to Godhead. But then why does the progress become so slow? So Mother Devhuti, she says this, interestingly. Kvachit tattvava marshena nivrittam bhayamulbanam. Anivritta nimittatvat punah pratyavatishthate. It's a very interesting concept that she presents here. She's saying, even if the great fear of bondage is avoided by mental speculation and inquiry into the fundamental principles, it may still appear again since its cause has not ceased. So she's saying, if somebody takes the path of jnana, somebody takes the path of karma, feels some sort of elevation, he understands you're not this material body, this. But unless the false ego is dissolved, material existence can still recreate itself. Or we can once again fall into a material pool. And this is repeated several times in the Bhagavatam. Rishabh Dev is saying that if somebody does not understand that sense gratification is a useless waste of time, he again, sahasa vipashyati, suddenly finds himself in a situation of sense gratification. Sahasa vipashyati, even an intelligent person. Swarthe pramatta, he becomes mad about his real self-interest and finds himself in a situation of sense pleasure. And then, while Rishabh Dev is concluding his teachings to his 100 sons, he explains about atihaya hetum, how does you actually dissolve the false ego? And he speaks 20 items that one needs to do in order to dissolve the false ego. Basically, the whole process of devotional service, beginning with the surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are two things that we all deal with. One is perception of how we analyze the world around us, how we see the world around us, how we understand the world around us, how we perceive reality. And when we come to Krishna consciousness, we try to adjust our perceptions. So this is what I mean. When we come to Krishna consciousness, like Krishna says, Raso vrajam raso pyasya param drishtvani vartate. The taste of sense object is still there. So he's trying to adjust his perception. So he's saying,
oh, this particular activity which I used to do earlier is not good for me. That means he still has taste, but on the basis of intelligence, he denies getting involved in it. So he's just changing his perception. But, and this is good when we begin Krishna consciousness. This is important when we begin Krishna consciousness. The perception, we have to adjust the perception. But that's not what will carry us along for the long time. Along with adjusting the perception, the whole process is designed to adjust our, to transform our conception. Conception of who we are. Because if we just adjust the perception, but our identity still remains that of a controller and enjoyer, then it's just a matter of time that we start employing our new conception in a spiritual environment. So then we see people become position conscious, or people start controlling resources, controlling human beings, controlling this, controlling that, because the perception, your just externals have changed, but the conception of who we are is not changed. And therefore the jiva doesn't experience transformation in spite of engaging in devotional service for a pretty fair long period of time. And that's where Maharani Mata Devahuti is saying that unless that seed is destroyed, which is the false ego, material existence can appear any time. In spite of, no matter how long you have tread the path, but there is always a possibility. And Bhagavatam is very realistic. They give the example of Bharat Maharaj. Level of bhava, but somewhere, it just appeared. Sahasa vipashchit. He had not planned, but sahasa vipashchit. Because that seed was there, he just got caught. So, when we try to change our perception without working on our conceptions, the result is temporary cessation of engagement in sense gratification. Then later on, either we do the same things again, or we just change the field of activities with the same mentality, keep operating. And that doesn't lead to spiritual advancement. So we see, when Brahmaji is entering Vrindavan and seeing Krishna eating all his food with all his playmates and all kind of wonderful leela is happening, when he entered Vrindavan, his conception was that of a great administrator. That I am Brahma, the four-headed Brahma, and I want to check out what are these guys doing. So because his conception was that of a great administrator, great personality and great of who he was, he understood, I know everything and this and that. He perceived even the Supreme Personality of Godhead's pastimes as ordinary activities. He could not understand Brajbhumi. He could not understand the simplicity, the sweetness, the devotion of Vrindavan. But when he actually got purified, humbled, enlightened by Krishna's mystic display of opulences, really bewildered. When he got really humbled, his conception changed first. He realized, I am a tiny spark. I am just a small servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who am I to understand him? Who am I trying to, you know, analyze him? Who am I trying to test him? And when that conception changed, the perception of Vrindavan changed. And he started seeing that Brajbhumi is Chintamani. And he's saying that, oh my dear Lord, if somehow I can get some birth in the land of Vrindavan. And he's not saying that, let me become a gopi. You know, sometimes when we come to devotional service, that's where we begin. If I go to Goloka, then at least maybe 2-3 rungs below Lalita Vishakha Devi, you know, somewhere very close. You know, once Govind Prabhu said that you should be ready to become a doorkeeper in Goloka Vrindavan. Do you have that? Of course, none of us agreed for that proposal. But here he is praying that, let me just become something in Vrindavan. And he's saying, even if I don't become something in Vrindavan, at least right in the outskirts. If you think I'm not allowed inside Vrindavan, I'm not qualified, at least right on the outskirts, so that when the devotees will walk, their dust will fall on my head and I'll be purified. This is Brahma, same Brahmaji. Why? Because the conception is changed. The simple Brajbhumi started appearing the most valuable thing in the whole creation for Brahmaji. Similarly, sometimes we have very simple things in a spiritual life. Chanting, our morning sadhana, service to devotees, and over a period of time, because our conceptions are materially founded, we start seeing them as not so important. But when the conception changes that I am an eternal servant of Krishna, when we start experiencing emotions related to that identity of being a servant of Krishna, these simple things become the most attractive to the heart. That's why we see so many devotees, they see Krishna, they see Him face to face, but they pray for association of devotees. Right? Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Dhruv Maharaj is saying, Parikshit Maharaj while leaving his body is saying, give me the association of devotees. Why? Because the conception is not that of controller and enjoyer, but that of a servant, then that same physical reality translates into a different meaning. So when we work on the conception, then life becomes exciting. It is not necessary to change the externals, which will necessarily bring enthusiasm and devotional life. Because if the conception is same, it's just a matter of time, even that newness will become stale. Right? So, Brahmaji got totally transformed and his desires became transformed. Once the conception changed, his spiritual desires naturally gravitated into his heart. The Lord actually gave him these kind of spiritual desires. And we have several examples in Gaur Leela also, transformation of Sarvam Bhattacharya, right? As long as he considered himself the biggest scholar, he couldn't understand who Mahaprabhu was. But when he got humbled, when he was transformed, then even his daily rituals did not make so much sense. He was seeing Jagannath Prasad to be the all in all and to be immediately reciprocated with. So that was the change in the perception that these devotees had. So how do we change our conception? That's the next question. So how do we go about changing our conception? So I'll end with this description. I'll just take 5 minutes to explain this. Shastra says, Vedanta Sutra says, anavritti shabdad, that material bondage happens because of sound and liberation also happens because of sound. Correct? So sound has 4 parts. Several times Gaurang Prabhu has mentioned in his Bhagavatam classes, Paravak, Pashyanti Vak, Madhyam Vak, and Vaikari Vak. These are 4 parts of, and out of these 3 are always hidden. We just observe the Vaikari Vak. Vaikari Vak is the gross form of speech, like I'm doing right now. Paravak is the most subtle, which is deals with desire, is related with the soul. Pashyanti Vak is the idea which gets conceived on the intellectual platform. Madhyam Vak is the elaboration of that idea on the mental plane, and then you start speaking about it. Like you get a desire to fly, so that is Paravak, that desire is somewhere, I want to fly. But then, you know, that idea becomes, oh, let's do it. So that becomes, the second level, the Pashyanti. Then it becomes Madhyama, that means basically you start working out the whole plan within your mind. Okay, we can go there, we can book a chartered plane or this or that, whatever it is. And then you start talking about it. Hey, I'm going on so-and-so day. I'm going in, booking this chartered plane to go and fly. So, process of chanting, the simple act of morning, 2 hours of chanting, it can reverse the whole process of creation. How the sound operates, when we chant initially on the level of Nama Parad, we are basically on the level of Vaikari Vak. That means it's just a speech. Therefore, you observe that on that level, desires still remain almost same. They don't experience major transformation. Some surface purification takes place, but the seed desires still remain the same. Therefore, we see people who chant on the Nama Prad level then may still maintain the similar kind of dealing patterns even amongst devotees. Right? So there is whatever we do outside may start happening in a devotional circle also. So the Nama Prad stage is on Vaikari Vak stage. So when you come to Nama Abhas, you move to the platform Madhyama Vak. That means there is more deeper penetration of the sound vibration. And only when you actually go to Pashyanti, that's the stage where the sound start affecting your desires. The sound vibration start affecting our desires. And para is the complete purification where the all desires totally become spiritual. So that's the stage Rupa Goswami is talking about. Anya abhilashita shunyam. Jnana karmadi anavritam. Anukolena Krishna anushilanam bhakti ruchyate. And whole Vrindavan, whole Braj Bhumi is an example of specimens who are on the level of this total spiritual desires for our walk. Therefore, Sanatana Goswami is saying, whatever Brajavasis speak is Krishna Katha, because Paravak is there, the desires are totally spiritual. Whatever comes out, even the form of grossest speech, is Hari Katha. He can perceive like that because of his conception. So, Jiva Goswami explains why we don't feel transformation even after chanting for a long time then. And Jiva Goswami says, very interestingly, he says, we have started the process of chanting the holy names, but we have not at the same time stopped the flow of material desires into our hearts. And he says, material desires flow in the heart when you expose yourself to materialistic sound vibration. So as long as the exposure of the jiva is there towards materialistic sound vibration, the process of purification will be very slow, if not nil. Why? And he says, one of the forms of materialistic sound vibration is prajalpa. So when somebody does prajalpa, his vaikari vak is engaged in prajalpa, it very subtly affects his desires. Therefore, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, in one of his lectures, said that when you engage in prajalpa, it strips you naked of your all sense of desire to serve Krishna. How does that happen? Basically, the desire is bombarded. Therefore, Raghunath Das Goswami is saying, asad vartha veshya, he considers this tendency to do prajalpa or speak anything unrelated to Krishna to a prostitute. What does she do? She gives you a little pleasure but robs you of all your wealth. So this prajalpa may give titillating pleasure, but it robs you of this wealth, this tiny sprout which is sprouting in the heart in terms of desire to serve Krishna. And when that desire is being taken away, the inspiration is taken away, it's just a matter of time that the jiva starts drifting again towards, again, materialistic engagements, materialistic tendencies, and eventually falls down. So, when we chant, but we don't mean what we chant, then it doesn't transform us. So, our whole prayer is about asking for service. O all attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead, O the supreme abode of pleasure, O the aladani potency of Srihari, please engage me in your service. So that is the whole idea. We are begging for seva. But when we don't, you know, Gauranga Prabhu was once explaining that you chant for 2 hours and Krishna is listening and then he sends you some service. And then you basically recoil at the thought of service. And now, one thing is you could be busy and then you may not be able to do it. There are two things. You may not be able to do it and you're not willing to do it. Krishna doesn't punish us when you're not able to do it. We get repercussions when we're not willing to do it. So when that willingness, internally Krishna says, hey, he was asking for service, and when I'm asking service, he's unwilling. Then the aladani potency is withdrawn. And then one doesn't experience taste in chanting, and distractions happen, and this and that, so many things happen. So when we chant, but we don't mean, then the change doesn't happen. And if we don't change the internal and only keep changing the externals, then our chanting will remain on the vaikari platform. That means it will just remain on an external sound level. Some purification will happen, but very, very minimal. So we may put 100 quotes in our room or in our lockers and this and that, and then, but we really, if we don't internalize them, we don't live by them, the transformation doesn't happen. So by chanting of the holy names, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that we need two things for good bhajan. He said simplicity. Simplicity means we are not trying to be something which we are not in presence of Krishna and the devotees. We are not trying to be an impostor in front of Krishna. We are what we are. As they say, naked in front of the Lord. Right? Simplicity. And the second he says is, that may make you complacent. Okay, main toh aisa hi hun. I don't want to change Krishna. This is what I want to accept. He says, no, second thing is determination. Determination to do whatever it takes to please Krishna, to purify our hearts and go back to Krishna. So he says, when you have these two combinations of simplicity and determination, you can perform good bhajan. Good bhajan basically means attentively, prayerfully and respectfully chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And when we do that attempt over a period of time, then gradually these desires start changing. But if we have to stop that channel of materialistic sound vibration, especially with the dawn of internet and everything, it has become more difficult. But that prajalpa has to stop. Therefore, many times our gross speech is saying we want to change, but internally we don't want to change. And Krishna is watching that. That internally he is still attached to this material pleasure in the form of various kind of subtle manifestations. So, in this way, by taking shelter of the holy name, one can actually change his conception, because of which the perception changes, one doesn't aspire for material happiness. And then, because of the devotional process, when we are in the Lord's presence, it creates spiritual desires. And when we live in a community of devotees, pleasing the devotees, that pleases the Lord and that maintains our spiritual inspiration. And the combination of all these things ensures that the jiva continues on his spiritual path till he reaches the lotus feet of Krishna, where he is safe and secure. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Granth Rashmat Bhagavat Mahapurana ki Nitai Gaur Premanande.